Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, July 15th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We are finishing the chapter, How It Works, and we're on page 70, paragraph 4, which begins, In this book, you will read. Today's readers are Minette M. for the 12 Steps, Rosalia P. for the 12 Traditions, Eileen M., Ellen D., Nancy L., and Mary B. will greet our newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors, and Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, that would be Wednesday, July 14th, is 17353. That's 17,353. The reference number for this morning's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, July 15th, is 17362. That's 17,362. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Minette M. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, please, Minette M. Minette M. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Sorry, Elaine, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, This is Monette M. from Oklahoma, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, fell through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Minette M. And now, Rosalia P. will read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning. I'm Rosalia P., Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, for each group each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Rosalia P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're finishing up the chapter, How It Works. We're going to read on page 70, paragraph 4, the very bottom of the page, and I will ask Eileen M. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being said, so you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And I love this because I'm going to focus on the word, if you have already made a decision. And to me, that word decision implies that I have a choice in whether, you know, I'm going to turn my will over or not. And, you know, this is referring to step 3, the step 3 decision, is I'm turning my life over to the care of God. And so, in other words, to me, that means I'm placing myself in a position to be changed. And, you know, I have to have humility to do that. And that's, you know, this step is, step 3 is, follows, step 1. Step 1, you know, the question is have I fully conceded to my innermost self that I cannot manage my life on my own? And, you know, I have to make that admission before I can go on with the rest of the steps. And, it's like, how do I turn my life over? It's like, to me, that's like letting God into my life, which, you know, I do that by working the rest of the steps. And, I was thinking that it's really only my willingness to let God in is that he can do for me what I could not do for myself. I have to take action. And, you know, I love this word. It says good beginning. It says we make a good beginning by doing the inventory, you know. And the good beginning is it's a new relationship with God, myself, and with other people. And, you know, I'm thinking back, I've done quite a few 4 steps in this program. And, you know, every single one of them has showed me in detail, you know, all the ways that self-reliance failed me. I mean, I really made a mess of a lot of things, you know, particularly like my jobs. You know, you know, I in my job situations, I, you know, created a lot of collisions with other people and just in general chaos, you know. And I get to see that, and I get to see what, how can I correct that with God's help? You know, how can I correct those things? And it's just all about a choice of, you know, just admitting to myself, it's like, I can't do it. You know, God can restore me to sanity, and I'm going to let God into my life. So that's what it's about for me. And I'm so grateful I'm not alone anymore because, you know, I have God now, and I have all of you, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Off to a great start. Yay. Okay. Though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on this page 70, paragraph 4, we'd love to hear from you. Press star 1 to unmute. Let me know.
Leslie W.
Leslie W.
Leah R.
Rob H.
Leah R. Rob H.
Tova E.
Tova E.
Dara C.
Dara C. Wonderful. Okay, so we've got Leslie W., Leah R., Rob H., Tova E., and Dara C. So, if you are not Leslie W., please press star 1 to mute your phone, and let's hear from Leslie W. Thank you, Leslie.
Hey, thanks so much, Elaine. This is Leslie W., a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. I look at this paragraph, and I actually wrote a little note on the end of it that says, give yourself a pat on the back. Because I think this sentence that says, that being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself is the closest we're going to get to these guys saying, hey, good job, you know, you've done some good hard work here. You know, we've heard a lot about not resting on your, we hear a lot about how we must dig in and do this work, and a lot about our selfishness and our dishonesty and our resentments. And we've been digging into that and working on that for so long. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get so hyper-focused on, oh my, you know, I got to do the work. I got to do the work. And I'm such a, I can easily start beating the crap out of myself for being a human being. When I know, you know, that's not the life that God wants me to live. God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. That's what the book tells me. So, this is, to me, a nice place to just pause and just say, you know what? You've done some good work here. You've done some good work. You still got a long way to go, but you've done some good work. And that feels good. It feels good to finally take action after I spent so many years of my life of inaction, sitting around eating and stuffing myself for so long. So, that's all I really wanted to share this morning, and I'm grateful to be here on the line with all of you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. Leah R., you're up next, followed by Rob H. Star 1 to unmute, Leah R.
Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, I didn't realize I was unmuted. I was muted. Hello, everyone. I appreciate this topic, this reading. Self-reliance has failed me. I was very, very tricky when I was when I was eating compulsively, I was overeating all those years. I wasn't aware that I was wanting to rely on myself, rely on the food. There was no concept of a higher power. There was no concept of recovery, big book, tools, meetings. There was none of it. And I couldn't hear anything or anyone. I have gotten to that point, like a bitter end. I'm like the hopeless variety, where I could not stop on my own power, and I started coming here. I started hearing, that we need something greater than ourselves to restore us, to stop us. I can't stay stopped on my own. Self-reliance failed me completely. It's a very slippery slope. At any moment, my mind tricks me. When I have a memory of the past, if I ate over a certain feeling, certain place, certain person,
Leah, your phone is breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you can make a quick adjustment. You sounded fine a second ago.
Oh, is this better?
It's still breaking up a little bit.
Is it better, the connection?
Yeah.
Okay, it might have been my headphones. So can you hear me now?
It's very breaking up. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's probably the connection.
Okay. Please go ahead.
Somebody said she sounds fine.
Okay, please continue.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sometimes people tell me that, but it's the connection where I am. So where was I? I was talking about how tricky it is when I want to turn to that food, when a certain feeling comes up, or I meet a certain people, or what I used to eat over and what I used to rely on. It's just continuous work, recovery and coming back here and big book, using the tools here to rely on a higher power. What I realized lately, just the continuous process of relying on myself and recognizing that doesn't work, and progress, not perfection, falling back to that self-reliance at times. And it keeps on failing me, and I keep on coming back here. I'll just go back to my automatic. And that's why I need this group, and I need the power of the group. That's my higher power doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Lear. Sorry for the interruption. I think it was on my end of the phone. Okay, Rob H., you are up next, followed by Tova E. Please share with us, Rob.
Thanks. Rob H., compulsive overeater, upstate New York. Just wanted to get on the line and share. As far as this paragraph in this book, I read again and again. I can't say that I study this every day, but it's very helpful. This book is very helpful for me. Swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about myself. I think about the step four, and then it's almost like, I don't know, maybe just thinking about for today for me, like maybe it was sloth or something, you know, just laziness for me that, you know, that I, like this morning, I'm cooking my meals. I'm actually trying to cook my meals for the week. So I'm cooking up all the ingredients and seeing how far I can get with that. I've tried it before and I've done it. And now I'm thinking of like yesterday I went to an in-person meeting and you know I shared that my sponsors, he tells me to write down things I'm grateful for. And I found myself writing down like all the different foods that I used to binge on. And yesterday I thought, well, like yeah, those foods kind of sustained me. And then today I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, how long did it take them to cook all those foods? Because now they're doing it for myself. Like I was never into cooking before this program, and now it's like, okay, they gave me a plan, and you know, there's a plan in the pamphlet, and I've just been using that for about almost 2 years, and just I feel like I'm getting better at cooking, and you know, the self-will, you know, God must have removed the self-will that said to me, like, oh, I can't cook. So I remember I told my fiance one time, and she remembers this too, that like, I can't cook. I can't cook for myself. I don't know what the hell to do with that. And I just, you know, I remember being resentful at my grandmother for calling me fat and lazy when I was a kid. And I don't want to say that she's right, but she's partially right, you know. But I think everybody gets into these patterns, you know, of the grosser handicaps. We all have them, and I think it's if I admit to it and I change something, you know, like whether I ask for help or ask God for help, or pray, you know, meditate, you know, that yeah, it's a good beginning, and you know, I think I'm on the path to recovery, so I'm gonna stay coming back to meetings and hopefully be able to share more. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Rob H. Tova E., you are up next, followed by Dara C. Please go ahead, Tova.
Hi, this is Tova E., a compulsive overeater in Illinois. Really thankful that there's a meeting I can come to and for all the volunteers who make it happen. I've been really, really struggling with my abstinence and my food behaviors. Even though I had a great start at the beginning with OA, and my husband's been suffering from a horrible depression for months now, and he's under treatment. It's pretty intense. It's a lot of responsibility on me with doctor's appointments and phone calls and transportation. And I love this paragraph. I love how it says, if you read again and again, that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Because I'm, you know, I need a lot of repetition. I need to go on these meetings every day and remind myself that I'm not in charge here. I'm not in charge of my husband's illness and what's going to happen. And you know, every night I can't sleep and I go down to the kitchen and it's been horrible. And I realize that it's at that moment where for some reason I'm not calling my sponsor. I'm not calling a group. I'm actually eating while I'm listening to a meeting, which is stupid. I think, you know, another thing I like in this sentence is it talks about if you've made an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you've made a good beginning. And I love that idea of the beginning, that I don't have to get this perfect. And it also talks about your grosser, your bigger handicaps. Because sometimes I just get overwhelmed. I'm still on the fourth step and I just think, when am I ever going to finish this? But it hit me last night when I was swimming that I'm just so angry and resentful about my husband's illness and like blaming him. Like, how did he let himself get so depressed? You know, and that's not fair for me to judge him. My job is to be compassionate and kind, and that's what I learned from the Big Book. And I don't know, I'm just really grateful to be able to be on the meeting and to have a chance to keep trying. And I hope you know, with the help of you guys, I'll be able to stop my compulsive overeating and get my abstinence back, because I sure don't feel good right now. It's not a good feeling, and I know that I have to rely on my higher power and you guys. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tova E. Okay, Dara C. is up next, and then after Dara, we're going to take another lineup. We're sharing on the end of How It Works, page 70, paragraph 4, which begins with, "In this book you will read." Please share with us, Dara.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. This is Dara C., a recovering compulsive eater in Wilmington, Delaware. And first, I just want to say that I love the 10 o'clock meeting so much. It's my favorite meeting, and I had to go back to the office about a month or so ago and had to switch to an earlier meeting. But when I do work from home or I have a day off, I get to do this meeting, and I'm very grateful to be here today because it's my favorite. I'm on step 10 now in my program, and when I did step 4, I definitely swallowed and digested big chunks of truth about myself. But I am grateful for that because clarity has really been helping me as I recover. As you do these inventories and patterns emerge, and for me, you know, similar things came up over and over, which is, you know, basically from low self-esteem and other issues caused me to say yes when I really needed to say no. And that got the ball rolling on a whole lot of stuff. It got me in a lot of mess because I wanted to feel special and I wanted attention and approval and everyone to think I was so great. And, of course, that wouldn't happen and I would be resentful because I would feel like I was taken advantage of and nobody sees me, and self-pity, and there was a whole mess of problems that happened, but I got the ball rolling on all of that, and now that I can see it from doing the inventories and seeing the patterns that emerge, you know, once I start seeing it, I can't unsee it, and I'm grateful for that, because the clarity allows me to take corrective action. You know, all of my problems are of my own making, and there's a solution. Things have been coming up again for me lately, but I'm grateful that I'm learning the 10-step process now because, you know, I don't have to keep tripping over myself, getting in my own way and making the same mistakes over and over again and then getting so frustrated with myself that it keeps happening because now I have a loving higher power that I can turn to. And I can ask him to hold on to my anxiety and my fear and whatever else while I get some clarity. I can write out inventories. I can get to the heart of the matter and figure out what it is that's really upsetting me. And then I can get an action plan to tackle the fear or the resentment, something that my higher power will sign off on. And, you know, the process works. The obsession lifts. I'm just incredibly grateful this morning for the tools of this program and for all the fellows on the line. And I really need to work on showing grace and compassion to all, and that includes me.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, thank you. Even though I've been, you know, screwing up again lately, but I need to show myself some compassion as I'm learning this process, and I hope everyone has a great day. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Dara C. And though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to comment on page 70, paragraph 4, which begins with, "In this book you will read," please press star 1 to unmute. No.
Hello, this is Raquel from Israel.
Raquel. Hello, Raquel.
Hello,
Doug. Glad to be here with you. Okay. And who else would like to share?
Doug from Southern California, Doug S.
Doug F. Okay.
K.S. Judith
S. Judith A. Ellen D.
David.
David, I think I got Judith already. Okay, David, I didn't catch your last initial. So I've got Raquel, Doug S., Kathy S., Judith A., Ellen D., and David. And so, Raquel, please give me the first initial of your last name, and then
E.
Doug S. will go after
Raquel
you.
Raquel E.
Oh, E. Okay, great. Please share with us, Raquel.
Yes. Well, thank you for the service, for the good work, and for the wonderful sessions, and especially this chapter, you know. And I was very busy, but I'm so glad that you allowed me to get on and share, because this in this whole chapter there were such unbelievable shares, such unbelievable open-hearted sharings that it's deep, you know. I will listen again and again to parts of it. And everybody was really sharing with great humility and great honesty. And so I thought I will put my two pennies into that too. I had my own share of this expression, the imprevious urge. You know, this is the second word that I really have to so look up. The first one was daily reprieve. What's a reprieve? Until somebody found for me in the Oxford that it says reprieve is postponement of a death sentence, for instance. And I love that. And here, in previous urge, what it says, that this urge is bossy, commanding, and it is not influenced by fear or argument. In other words, what God arranged there in our makeup for the survival of the species is something that definitely is not going to listen to us. If we talked a lot about God when we took apart the thing with fear and the thing with resentment, here we're totally lost without him, because this is an incredible thing. So here, my confession, when I found myself away from my country and without family, and my husband, who was doing a great job for the land of Israel, fell in a group of people who were very much enslaved to this imprevious whatever. And then one day he just declared that he would like very much to have an open marriage, and that it would bring a lot of peace to the world. And we're talking about the 70s. And I didn't have an independent thought in my head, because I was so hung up on admiring him. But my foundation and my belief system was very solid. And I said, you know, well, horrible things, you know. He just said, if you bring a lover home, I'll serve you guys coffee in the morning. At that point, I had to, after much pain and counseling and rabbinical counseling and Jewish family service and all, I had to just take the four kids on my shoulders and leave. And I will never, ever forget this. Yeah, I will stop. And this unbelievable lawyer who forgave me $25,000 and said, take your talents and do what you can do. So there I was, and God was there. And it's probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because a lot of good things came from the stand that I took on these matters. And I thank you so much for being there, and that I can, so many years later, this thing was 1975, and here I am in Israel, surrounded.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Raquel. Okay, Doug S., you are up next, followed by Kathy S.
Hello, this is Doug S., as in Sam, from Southern California. Can I be heard?
Yeah, thank you, Doug. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I've been coming to these meetings off and on for probably over 2 years. And I have never been able to use that word recovering, but I'm very grateful now that I can use that word. I have found a vision sponsor, and that has really made all the difference. Well, God has made all the difference. The paragraph said, in this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And I chimed in this morning just because I was thinking this, that everybody has their first meeting and vision. Everybody calls in for the first time, and there's probably newcomers or maybe people calling in for the first time. And I just want to give that assurance that that phrase that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. There's so many truths in this book, and for me, that's been one of the strongest ones. And when it says, we hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. And oh my howdy, oh my goodness gracious, I did not realize how much my self-will was blocking me from the one that I just desired to have fellowship with above everything else and do, but my self-will was in the way. And so at the beginning of this chapter, they say also this phrase, with all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. And I just would echo an amen and say, if you're starting the program or if you've been away from the program, for me, I just want to say it works. I'm convinced that God can indeed do these things that we cannot do for ourselves. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doug S. K.S., you're up next, followed by Judith A.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, Kay, thank you.
This is K.S., gratefully recovering compulsive overeater from Washington State. And I look at my book, most of this paragraph is underlined, and then what's circled in addition to the underlining is the word grosser handicaps and big chunks. And I remember the first time I did my fourth step, I tended to go on and on listing more and more defects. I thought it would never end. And I'm finding that with some of my sponsees, the fourth step is multiple pages. And I have to keep reminding them, this is an that what's important is you made a decision and you're moving forward to turn your life and will over to the care of God as you understand him, but that we're only really inventorying our grosser handicaps. You won't even be aware of all your handicaps. We'll continue to have handicaps throughout our lives. But to clear away the ones that are blocking us now and to not obsess over getting every last little defect out there, because more will crop up. And so just getting the I also have written underneath this whole paragraph, get the big things done. Don't concentrate on the nitpicky stuff. Get the big things done. And sometimes I think that my tendency toward perfectionism and procrastination blocked me because I'm so focused on getting every last detail. And really, it's get the big stuff done. The rest will fall into place. And there's many more fourth steps to come. And that's all I really wanted to share. And thank you so much, Elaine, for being there and everyone else who makes this meeting possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, KS. Judith S., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Ellen D.
I think it's Judith S.
Judith. Let's know where you're calling from, please.
Judith S. from Maryland, originally from Brooklyn, New York. So grateful to be here. Haven't been on these meetings in very long time. I do listen to the podcast. Anyway, I've recommitted for 2 months now to my program and to my life. And with God's help and my sponsor, I've just completed step 6 and 7. So I'm right in the mix of this. But what came up for me when it was read today are the words swallow, chunks of truth about myself. Because before program and while I was kind of pussyfooting around in program, I was swallowing a whole lot of stuff, but it wasn't truth about myself. It was FOOD, and I was doing that very compulsively to stay away from myself and to stay away from God and my life. And so even though this is the AA Big Book for a compulsive overeater as myself, it's interesting that they use the word swallow and chunks, because those two words for me have been very much, as I said, equated with eating. And I am so grateful that now through my inventories, and they have been pretty long, but they have been gross, because I know more will be revealed as I am unblocked more and connected to God. But I am so grateful that now I can swallow chunks of truth about myself, so I can live in that spiritual awakening and experience that is now unfolding. So thank you for letting me share. God bless everybody. I'm so grateful to be here and for you all, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Judith S. Ellen D., you're up next, and you'll be followed by David.
Hi, this is Ellen D., recovered in Texas. I like how it says, in this book you read again and again. It made me think about there are other places in the Big Book where it says something similar to God did for me, well, something similar to faith did for us, what we couldn't do for ourselves. I think in the other places it says God did for me. And I love that. I mean, Bill says it about Ebby on page 11, and it's on page 25 and page 84, you know, similar wording or somewhat differently, but pretty close. And I just love that. You know, over and over again, it's reminding me God's doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And for me, faith is trusting, believing, trusting that my higher power wanted to relieve me of this mental obsession and that he was able to. And for whatever reason, I needed to work these 12 steps. And I remember thinking, why do I need to work the 12 steps? But I thought, you know, I'm desperate and nothing else I tried worked, so I'm just going to do it. And wow, you know, I had never done a fourth step, a fifth step, a ninth step, but I needed to do that. I needed to see that... like, I didn't have much humility at all, and now I get to humble myself and realize, you know, I don't know everything. I can't run the show. I was never designed to run the show. I've really been thinking about lately that I'm designed to actually depend on my higher power. Like, he wants to do for me, and I just need to depend on him. And step 3 and 4 are good beginnings for me, but I needed to continue, and I'm so glad I did. Because recovery has brought me peace and neutrality in my life. I'm so grateful. And in the AA 12 and 12, it talks about how step 4 is, doing a thorough step 4 is a wonderful light that falls upon this foggy scene. And a brand new kind of confidence is born as we persist. And a sense of relief at finally facing ourselves is indescribable. And that's just so true for me. It's been indescribable, but it's been so beautiful, and I'm really grateful. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ellen D. David, you are up next. And if you could give us the first initial of your last name, that would be great. And after David shares, we have room for maybe one or two more shares on page 70, paragraph 4. David? I think I heard a David.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you now, David.
Okay. Sorry, I know you asked me for my last initial before, but then I got stuck in a mute-unmute cycle.
And
so I'm David
from?
W. David W. from the East Coast.
Thank you.
And first time on this meeting. Thanking you for your service and all the readers for their service. And I think the reading it reminded me of how grateful I am for this 12-step program. The part that it said, you know, now that we've done this, we've learned some things about ourselves. And I was thinking about step four, like before this program, if I'm making a list of my resentments, I wouldn't think it was about myself. I would think it's about, you know, everybody else and what they've done to me and you know, how I've been wronged and how bad my life is. And, you know, I'm so grateful for my higher power that today I can realize, like, no, I have to learn things about myself. I can only, you know, I can only stick to my side of the street. I can only change myself. It's not about everybody else. And boy, is there a lot to work on. I got plenty to do on myself without having to change the rest of the world. And just learning about myself and how I want to control everything and how I want to run the show and everything should go my way. And, you know, I know what God needs to do for me today. And, you know, being able to do this a fourth step and learning about my deficiencies is really a gift today. And thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, David W. So we have time for two-minute shares, if anybody would like to share. Star one to unmute. Or actually maybe 1 3-minute share. Anybody like to take our final share?
Noelle E., Louisiana.
Noelle E., it's all yours. I'm sorry, we just have time for one share. So, Noelle, please share with us. And if you're not Noelle, please do press star 1 to mute your phone.
This is Noelle E., recovering compulsive eater from Louisiana. I'm on a run right now, guys. I'm not even looking at this paragraph, but based on all the shares, I am being... I'm being called to let you know that I've been running towards a rain cloud, and now I'm walking in it. And it's just the metaphor for the fourth step that is, you know, a washing clean of all these things. And I'm in the lowest place I've ever been, with all the things around me crumbling, and I've never felt more sure that everything is going to be exactly how it should be, because of a loving God who's brought me to this place. And the honesty of my fourth step is what set all of this into motion, of admitting to myself first for the first time, you know, my gross defects, and understanding that, you know, even though those things are from the past, they're not who I am. Who I am is a loved child of God, who's meant to be awake to the life I'm living now, not worried about not reflecting morbidly over what I did in the past and not worried about how I'm going to fuck up the future. And I just am looking at my fourth step, you know, with such gratitude, because not an ounce of that pain has been wasted. It's all been woven into this beautiful truth that I'm living now. I'm honest with my husband for the first time in our 17-year relationship. And the news is that he loves me so much, he might love me more. And that's because God shows me that I'm worth loving, because he loves me endlessly. Oh. Thank you, everybody, for your service.
Thank you very much, Noel. Thank you, everybody, for your amazing shares. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ellen D. please read a vision for you?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.